Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Allah Ta'ala's special mercy, His blessings, His fadl, that Allah Ta'ala has given me the ability, the tawfiq, to be present amongst such pious people as yourselves for some moment of time. And this is a great gathering, an azeem gathering. No doubt, in the eyes of the dunya and the people of the world, this is a minor gathering with no weight. But in the eyes of Allah, close to Allah, this is a azeem majlis, great gathering, valuable gathering. And those individuals who are gathered here via the social media or those who are physically present, they cannot imagine the value that on the day of Hashr and Qiyamah, we will realize sitting here for some time, how valuable this was for us. This is the special rahmah of Allah, the signs of the rahmah and the mercy of Allah's fadl, His grace, His mercy, His blessings, that today, in this condition, in this scenario that we are in, that the conditions that are surrounding us, the reality is such that in deen, there isn't just weakness, but we are far from deen, distant. And in such a condition, environment, scenario, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if He gives us in our destiny such a gathering like this, and we are seated and we are able to be present in a gathering like this, then this is Allah's massive, massive blessings upon us. What else can it be? Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. We have not come for any other purpose. We haven't any other special purpose. And nor do I think that we have multiple purposes. Those who don't have this purpose, then make the niyyah, the intention, because Allah Ta'ala has given a massive reward if we have the right intention for being here. One is this, that we are seated here, most definitely, the purpose of being here is not to listen to a speech or a lecture or taqreer, because mashallah, better than me, there are ulama, respected scholars here, people who give ta'aleem, tabliq, propagation of deen, spreading deen, kitabs are read. Mashallah, a lot of work of the deen is happening here. So the purpose was just one, that we sit down for some time and we remember Allah. We remember Allah. And is this everybody's niyyah? Yes, mashallah. And in parallel with that, the other intention that we should have, alhamdulillah, is that Allah Ta'ala, His rada, that we are sat here for Allah's rada, His pleasure, I have traveled from home to here. There's one objective, that Allah Ta'ala, may you be pleased with me. And in this gathering, with the barakah of this majma, this gathering, may Allah Ta'ala allow His rada, His pleasure, to come to us, and may we attain Allah's forgiveness. And these are the two objectives we have. They are in our hearts, in our niyyah. So brothers, in Tabarani there's a hadith, and Ahmad there's this hadith, narrated Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahimahullah Ta'ala has also included this hadith. Morning and evening we read this kitab, this hadith is included, that when such a gathering is formed, the meaning of the hadith is this, when such people come together to form a gathering, and in that gathering they are collected together, and for collecting together they have one maqsad, one objective, to do the dhikr of Allah. Alhamdulillah, we have that. And the second objective that they have is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And with that gathering, in such a gathering, if these two intentions are present, if people gather together for this purpose, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave good news that from the heavens an angel calls out with the order of Allah, with the order of Allah. And when the angels are mentioned in the ahadith that they call out, announce, then if we cannot hear, fair enough, but our ruh, our soul definitely hears, and the rest of the creatures of the universe and all of the universe hears the call of the angel. And that angel calls out, nada. And everything in the universe listens to that angel. And the angel says that in Bradford, in this certain masjid, in a certain locality, certain individuals, because mashallah, Bradford is big, many people live here, all over the place, many masjids, and this is a beautiful masjid. This gets filled with the fadl of Allah. But ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Whoever upon whom Allah Ta'ala wants to give His fadl, then Allah Ta'ala gives him the tawfiq to do actions like what we are doing here. So in the state, it is stated in the hadith that when people gather together, form a gathering, they're seated together for the sake of dhikr, for Allah's remembrance and Allah's pleasure, rada, then the announcer, the angel announces, on behalf of Allah, that, oh, people who are sat in this masjid, in this place, children, young, old, through social media, women, men, children, all over the world who are listening, then the announcement is made, Allah Ta'ala says that, I have forgiven these people. All of our life we have one objective, my friends. The objective of every act of worship that we do is one. Our desire is one. Our du'as are one. Our crying and sobbing in the night is one. Our hajj is the same. Our umrah is the same. For this purpose, our du'as, to attain the objective of our du'as, are sitting, getting up, sitting down, lying down. We have a link with the deen that Allah, please forgive us. Allah, forgive us. This is our objective, isn't it? Morning to evening, even to morning, all life long. We cry for this, don't we? So tell me, subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. And if we have yaqeen on this, we should have no weakness on the yaqeen of this. That I'm not speaking about some normal human being. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that's telling us this good news. So what do we start thinking? How will this happen? I'm a sinner. I'm the worst. And I'll think this first from everybody, that I'm just the worst. I am weak. How can this be that I'll be forgiven by sitting in one gathering of dhikr? How can this be? I'm thinking, no, no, yaar. And then shaitan says to that person, no. But Allah says, no. If a good piece of news is coming from Allah, that's more than enough. More than 100% certainty that this is siddiq. This is siddiq. And the waswasa that has been created in my mind is shaitan. Because Allah's rahmah is all powerful and is much more powerful than the power of our sins. The effect of our sins, Allah Ta'ala doesn't want that person who has iman that he goes into Jahannam. Never does Allah Ta'ala want this. Allah Ta'ala seeks excuse. Allah's rahmah seeks excuses. That somehow, let this person do an action, now morning till evening, that such actions happen in the dunya, that at least let's get included in some good gathering or action. So Allah Ta'ala says, I can forgive you. So on the day of judgment when we go, and some people, they will have forgotten that I went on this day, I sat down in that gathering. Obviously, if I didn't tell you this hadith, who would know about this? So when we go there on the day of judgment, we'll present our deeds. Allah will say, no, there's riya, showing off, pride. Allah will split and disseminate those deeds. May Allah Ta'ala accept His rahmah and His mercy. May Allah Ta'ala accept our deeds based on His rahmah and mercy. But this is not the court of the world. Allah knows why we're praying salah, the state of the hearts, why is this person doing dhikr, why is he reading Quran, what work of the deen is he doing, what's his objective. So everything will come out at that time. Everything will come out. So there, many actions that we have done, the reality of those actions and the true purpose behind them will come out. But Allah Ta'ala will give us an opportunity for His rahmah to come to us in the world, and we will have forgotten this. Allah will say to the angels, that can you take out the record of that deed when he went to that majlis, like we have come here today? SubhanAllah, Allah will say, do you remember? You say, Allah, I can't remember that. Allah will say, that time on that day, there was a majlis, it was a gathering of dhikr, and you didn't even know what was happening. And you just sat down and said, let's see what happens now. Let me see what occurs. What man will come? Who speaks? What will occur? And you'll say, Allah, yeah, that did happen. And I will say, I announced that day that I had forgiven you. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. What a great statement. What a great achievement. In other words, we've achieved the purpose of life, forgiveness. And on top of that, another reward was big rewards are attained through sitting in such a gathering like this one today. We'll get forgiveness. And on top of that, SubhanAllah, what else will we get? It's obvious, apparent, that I'm sinful, you are pious. And we are immersed with the sins. And a person will come to this gathering wrapped up in sins from head to toe. He'll be drowned in the sins. And thousands of sins will be attached to him. SubhanAllah. And he'll come and sit down in the majlis. And two things he'll have attached to him, Allah Ta'ala will say, that I will forgive that person. And the angel will say, on top of that, all the sins that are wrapped around you, attached to you, they'll be transformed into good deeds. So brothers, is this an expensive transaction? Is it difficult to sit here? No, what a great transaction. Great transaction. Allah's karam has come to effect. This is the start. This is just the beginning of the gathering. Then when we get to maraqba dhikr and the kalamats that we're going to start reciting and the barakat and the rewards of the dhikr of Allah, we cannot even start to imagine. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is a treasure from the treasures of Jannah, paradise. And in this gathering, if we sit and recite this, SubhanAllah, tell me, what will we attain? What will we not attain? SubhanAllah walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallahu wallahu akbar. Tell me, what a great kalam. What a great, great verse. What a great, great recitation. That when this kalama is recited in the hadith, it is stated that the angels, they grab hold of this kalama. You understand? They grab hold of this this dua. Ooh, what has this person said from his mouth? So they grab hold of that verse, that dua, and kalama, and they shoot upwards. And they grab hold of it, like, for example, we grab something under our armpit, and they press it under their armpit, for example, like we would, and they shoot up to the heavens. There are many recitations, and there are many layers of heaven and skies, and how many miles. Imagine that they climb right up to the top. On every level of Jannah, when they get there, millions of angels are there. They say, what is it you're concealing and running away from us with? And you say, it's a great kalama that's been recited. What is it? This person, he recited this kalama. And all of the angels there, they'll start running after him. after that angel, and they'll start being proud of that individual who started second layer, third heaven, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, and all of the heavens, the layers, the levels, they are talking about his forgiveness. And then he goes and presents that kalima to the presence, to the court of Allah. We'll recite this, won't we? So brothers, this is very valuable, inshallah. You have made my life in this old age, subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala doesn't see how old is this person, young, old, child, youth. Allah's got a mercy, whoever he wants to forgive, he'll forgive. So dhikr is a great action, my brothers. Wala dhikr Allahi akbar. Subhanallah. Dhikr, Allah Ta'ala says, is a great action. Why do you consider it as a minor deed? Look here, a point has come to my mind here, that there are two things within us. One is the insan, fitrat, and natural traits and habits of a human being, yeah? And a person, for example, he follows the natural habits and actions. For example, we have a natural action, habit, trait as human beings. It's a human being habit that when we feel hungry during the day. And when we feel hungry, what do? We start to demand for food. We'll do actions that will take us towards food. And if somebody wants to stop me, they won't be able to, because the body is demanding food due to hunger. If you're thirsty, how can you stop the thirst? And with the hukam of Allah, yes, from morning till evening, you cannot stop. Like for example, your body is demanding these things, but you could be fasting and you don't have to eat or drink, but obviously then you're in a tough situation. So yeah, you can fast to stop the demand of food and drink. Because fitratan, naturally, we want to eat and drink, and due to this natural demand, we take advantage. Sometimes 5 times a day people eat, other people they're hungry all day long, every hour. Morning, evening, tea, breakfast, or mid-morning, then lunch and tea and supper and dinner. So we should have the balance in the life, and we should fulfill the natural demand of the body. In the same way we have thirst and hunger and other tendencies that are natural. So now when we have these natural tendencies, and if a person sat down and he's not hungry, people say that he'll say, "You're eating, but I don't feel hungry." They say, "Is it 1 day, 2 days, 3 days? Why are you not hungry?" "Oh, this child is not eating. Mother is upset. Father's upset. What's happened to our son, daughter? They're not eating. He or she's not eating. Don't feel hungry." You ask, "Why? What's happened?" Why? Because now, unconsciously, insan, obviously he should feel hungry after a moment of time. And this is the proof of our natural tendencies. Then we'll be upset. "Oh, he's ill. This child is ill. She's ill. This person's ill. Not eating food. He's not drinking water." Then we'll run to the doctor. "Doctor Sahib, he's stopped drinking and eating 2 days, 3 days. If this happens to me and you personally, what's happening?" People eating paratha and we don't feel like eating. And he's eating or she's eating, and then we'll say, "Definitely there's an issue, there's a defect, deficiency, he's ill or she's ill," and we'll run straight to the doctor, to the Hakim, and he will see and scan and say, "Oh no, there's a deficiency within his or her body," because an unnatural action is taking place here. So this is the result of unnatural tendencies, which we don't eat or drink. But then one is the tendency of Iman. This is called fitratan Imani. Say subhanallah. Iman actions. And when is this created within person? Subhanallah. When is this created? A person who has a body, he will feel hungry and thirsty. And a person who has Iman, then Iman will also demand. My brothers and sisters, listen carefully to what I'm saying. That on any quantity of Iman, if a person has Iman, even if Iman is present in a small quantity, a speck of dust, an atom's weight, a molecule's weight, and a proton's weight of Iman, if it's in our hearts, then we will also feel this. The person has a dharra amount of Iman in the heart. Doesn't matter how weak he is as a believer. But for example, if you have a physical body, doesn't matter how weak you are, you'll feel hungry or thirsty after a matter of time. And even if you have a weakness of Iman in your hearts and souls, but your Iman will demand something. Just like your physical body demands food and water. So what is the demand of your ruh? The demand of Iman, belief, when you have Iman in your ruh, that when Allah Ta'ala's order comes, then straight away to fulfill that order, subhanAllah. This is the reaction of Iman. There's a reaction, yes, a cause and a reaction. When you're physically hungry, your body, you want to eat chana and melons and drink water, chapatis and bread. And the tendency of Iman, the natural trait of Iman, is the believer who has Iman believe that as soon as Allah Ta'ala's order reaches to that person, then definitely immediately the Iman should feel hunger to fulfill that demand and that order of Allah. And then he says, "Allah, I'll fulfill your order, so I do not disobey you." When the adhan is given, then the basis of Iman is that he doesn't feel sleepy. For example, when you're hungry, do you feel sleepy? No. When you're thirsty, do you feel sleepy? No. So the proof of Iman, is that how can it be? Allah says, "La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wusaha." Deen is not strict. There's no burden. I'm not forcing you. Allah says that deen is according to your natural tendencies. In the morning we wake up, people say, "He's not got an alarm clock. Where's he going in the darkness? He's doing wudu with cold water." The people with iman, this is their proof. That person, like, his stomach is correct, he's eating chapatis. The person whose stomach is upset will say, "What's he doing? I don't feel hungry." So the person who runs in the darkness to Allah Ta'ala's call to the masjid, looking for a masjid, I want to pray salah. We realize from this that this person's iman is perfect. MashaAllah. It's perfect. He's got strong iman. Straight away he's fulfilling the demand of his iman. He doesn't feel content. He's running to a masjid and he's doing wudu quickly, cold water, even if it's cold. Look, you see that the person is so mad about doing the ibadah of Allah. Even if it's water which is cold, freezing, he'll wash the hands and gargle, and then he'll go and complain after to the committee that, "Please, can you correct the boiler system? What's happening? It's cold water that you're making me do wudu with cold water. I'm sneezing now." By that time you won't complain. The person who's hungry and he goes home, he says, "What's the fragrance? What's cooked? Why haven't you cooked anything?" Whatever he gets in his hands, he'll eat, even if it's from yesterday. And then he'll say afterwards, "Oh, at least you should have cooked some good food, isn't it?" So this is the test of iman. This is the demand of iman. And hello, how are you? Assalamu alaikum, how are you? And the biggest proof that is paying testimony to the iman of the mu'min, Allah Ta'ala made first for salah. Salah. So if we realize that the biggest proof of iman, just like we have chapati and bread that we eat, if we don't have, we say, "Oh, I didn't enjoy it. Oh, my stomach wasn't filled, it was just rice. I should have had some bread." And because you want the bread and the chapati. So for example, somebody has some meat. Listen, what happens? You definitely have to have meat on the plate. Oh, but for example, if you have dal, but you need to make some meat with the dal. These are our main dishes. In the same way, there's a requirement of the iman. Are you feeling hungry? No, inshallah. This is not the time to eat. Maybe you're feeling hungry. Naturally, your stomach's asking. But this time, we're speaking about the demand of iman, the hunger of iman. So my brothers, what happens is that at that time, when it's salah time, it's a great dish that's served by Allah. The first dish that Allah Ta'ala prepared and served for iman, to fulfill the hunger of iman, was salah, prayer. So tell me brothers, what's the hal of our salah today? In some days gone back, I was reading a report in India, there are 20 million people who are more than that, actually, believers. There are 200 million believers, Muslim. And we would not believe this, maybe. But hey, this clearly. And this is the report from India. The rest of the world, there will be more than this. But in that country, where alhamdulillah, 150 years, the work of Tabligh has been happening. Dars, propagation, 6,000 madrasas, Darul Ulooms, Islamic institutions, villages, madrasas, houses of Allah, masjids. Work of deen is happening. And the hal of the ummah today in that country, in India, Hindustan, is that 200 million out of the 200 million Muslims, only 2% of the Muslim population pray salah 5 times a day. Tell me, what is the hal of this ummah today? What will be the hal of the ummah? Yes, that salah is such an action. Salah is such an action. Tell me that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about prayer, that not once, not twice, 3 times Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Oh people, fear leaving salah, fear Allah and observe salah, fear Allah, observe salah, fear Allah, observe salah. 3 times Rasulullah said, imagine the importance of salah. Think that if we don't pray salah, due to not praying salah, so many hadith, 15 adab descend from the skies. And if a person's household, family members don't pray salah, and then we complain, "Long statement salah, there's no barakah in my house, there's no barakah in my children, I don't have this, there's fighting in my home, there's quarreling in my home, we're unhealthy, and this does not happen, that doesn't happen." If we look at adab, 15 adab, the 5 of those adab are given in this world. This is such a bad sin and a big disaster for the ummah and every individual in the ummah, that if we don't pray and if our families don't pray, if the mother and the father are looking, that my children are not praying salah, my wife's not praying salah, nothing's not happening. This is common today. This is the test of iman. Allah Ta'ala says that it's possible. Now how can a person who has iman and after having iman he rejects salah, doesn't pray salah, she doesn't want to pray Salah. How can this be? A person says he or she is a mu'min and doesn't want to pray Salah. If a person's healthy, good body, strong body, and he doesn't eat, she doesn't want to eat, people will be amazed. So Allah Ta'ala is amazed on the heavens and the angels are amazed. Is this a human being? He has iman in the heart, belief. Allah Ta'ala has given iman to this person, but he is not fulfilling the base requirement of iman. And let's take all of the other amal of Islam, the deeds of Islam, in the same way. So what's the reason for this? Let's think for a moment. What's the reason? That we need to fikr and worry and ponder, what is the reason? We're not mad, we're not stupid, we're not crazy, we're not foolish. We listen, we know, we have the ilm. Our children, we inform them, but it goes in one and comes out the other. When we accept straight away how to implement a sin, it doesn't take a second to shun a sin. To send a person to a bad gathering, you just have to hint to that person. Don't even have to hint, you'll have the fragrance of that gathering and thousands of people will reach there. So reason for this? What's the maqsad for this? What's the reason behind this? So very quickly we've scanned our stomach. What's the disease? I don't feel hungry. So brothers, we need to scan our internal self, our soul, that why don't I feel hunger to pray? Am I not going to pass away? Am I not going to go to Allah? Am I not going to go to the grave where I'll get the punishments in the grave for not observing Allah Ta'ala's orders? Tell me, that child that you love, what love do you have for your children? This is not a love, this is a selfish act. If we don't want our children to pray, we're enemies of our children. I'm an enemy of my child. I'm the worst enemy. I lie that I love my wife. I lie that I love my mother. Don't I see them burning? They're stood in the fire every day when they don't pray Salah. This is that wretched person who has destroyed the ummah when he doesn't tell his family members to pray Salah. Allah Ta'ala says this is the worst punishment on a person when a person doesn't pray Salah. What love is this for Islam? We should dislike those individuals who are breaking the straightforward order of Allah that they don't pray Salah due to not implementing amal. Allah, what's happened to these people? What's happened? This much figure that when my child doesn't eat, I'm worried he's not eating, my daughter's not eating, we're running to the doctors to get the solution. So do I have love for my child? Do I have love for my child? Is this real love for my child that they don't pray Salah? So much fikr for the world. You should have worry for the world. Have fikr for the dunya. But think at least for a few seconds about this point that we're discussing today. That is this the basis of iman that we are fulfilling? We are not doing, you're not doing, I'm not doing this. Tell me. So what love is this? This is the biggest fraud in the name of love. In the name of love for Allah. This is rather enmity for the deen of Islam. Tell me, my friends, where has our deen gone? There's a mother and she wants to save her children. How much she will try to save her children from a disaster, calamity, to the final breath she will prefer to pass away herself, but she'd rather her children are alive. The mother father will not jump out of the window of the blazing, burning home unless they have the children with them that they are saved. And the fire of Jahannam, hellfire, Allahu Akbar, my child is burning in hellfire, my wife is burning in hellfire. And they love me, and I love them. No, I don't love my children. That if you make them pray Salah, fine. But you pray Salah, that's good. But what about your children? Why are they not praying Salah? Decide for them. Scan yourself for a moment. What's the cure for this disease? Let's scan for a moment. Where do we stand? Where are we stood at the moment? We need to get the cure for this disease. We need to run to the cure. Not that we turf our children out of the home, or we disown them, or we oppress them. For example, if somebody, your children, one of your children is not eating, then you say, why are you not eating? You're not going to beat them, are you? Or hit them? No, you're going to go towards the cure, to the doctor, medical cure. If somebody has got fragrance of food in their nose, then are you going to cut the nose off? No, you will go towards the cure. ENT. If there's a pain in the ear, will you cut off the ear? No. Or if your eye is paining, no. You'll say that, no, you need to get the cure. If I'm not praying, or Zaid or Bakr is not praying, I'm just speaking about Salah. All of the ahkams apply also to this example. Not just one. Allah says, come into Islam, come totally into Salah. So let's apply the same rule to all of the actions, not half a partridge, half a quail. So Allah says, this is the test of your iman. That if you're not coming totally into Islam, then scan yourself, go towards the cure. You are ill, you are unwell. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the real masla here is not that he didn't pray Salah, what should we do? The masla that the Quran is asking us is, though, why don't you go to the cure of this problem? Why don't you go to the pure? And on this masala, this is the solution that we've come to learn today, that I've come to share with you today. We need to solve this issue for the sake of the ummah, for my sake, our sake. We need to sit and ponder and think and analyze and get the cure. Let's think now. Because I do bad actions. Okay, I've come to Salah. Okay, what about the rest of the actions? Those actions that Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't like. We do those actions, don't we? Why do we go and watch dramas? Does Islam like this? Does Islam agree to this? The women wander around without parda, uncovered. Do our ahkams allow this? Does our deen allow this? So it's not just Salah that will save me. We have to apply this principle to all of the actions of Islam. So what does this mean? is that in this one thing we need to think, one common denominator that has to be with us all the time, that we are what? Ill, we are unwell, we are unwell. And if we are unwell, what should we do? We should go towards the cure. So let's cure ourselves today. Should we do this? Will everybody implement the cure? True promise? Okay, put your hands up if it's a true promise. Solid promise. Then I'll exert and I will make effort. Okay, today we'll get the cure. Alhamdulillah for this disease. That's why I'm present today. I haven't come to do dhikr. I've come to teach dhikr. Subhanallah. Because we all do dhikr. But mashallah, I have a lot of brothers in the jamaat who I teach dhikr. And we do dhikr every day, morning and evening. With the fadl of Allah, we do dhikr. No. I haven't come to do dhikr. I've come with a pain in my heart, my friends. May Allah Ta'ala accept our sitting, our listening. Because on the ummah today, there's an ajeeb condition that has surrounded the ummah. What is that condition? That we are all ill. And even then, we don't accept that we are ill. And this is a big disease. Big disease. We'll say, oh, he doesn't pray salah. Oh, he is sinning. Oh, she's doing the wrong action. Oh, this is immodesty. Then, next, end of story. Why? Because we don't know what is the cure for this. We don't know what's the cure. Oh, just pray salah. How will that person pray salah? How can we force them to pray salah? If a person has not got hunger, can you force that person to eat? He'll vomit, she will vomit. And if you tell somebody forcefully to pray salah, they'll run away from home. And then they'll go to an institution that my father presses me, and then they'll put you inside, imprison you. I've seen many parents in prison today. Yes, because the children, they go and complain to the authorities, and your awlad will go against you. And they do this. They're saying, right, they're complaining. They're saying that, please cure me. I've got an illness and you're forcing me. You cannot force the children because the children are ill. And if they complain against them, how can you feed somebody forcefully if the food is not going down the throat? That person will vomit. So what's the cure for not having the desire to practice? We all read Quran, hadith. And what a great hadith this is. Kullu shayin sakalatan qalb bi dhikrillah. Subhanallah. That, say Subhanallah everybody. Subhanallah. Why? Why? Allah Ta'ala is teaching us that the whole of the body, when the stomach is, for example, dirty, upset, then the illness comes. Hakim says that all illnesses emanate from the root of the stomach. Correct your stomach balance and your illness will go. I met a peer sahab, and he was Hakim sahab. And I had a severe stomach ache, and I had a problem, I had a cold. He said, you don't have a cold. He said, you've got another issue. He said, your stomach is faulty. I said, no, my stomach is fine 100%. He said, no, I will cure you. He took my pulse. I didn't know that he was checking my pulse. Then he gave me two tablets. I ate them. Alhamdulillah, I was totally fine after that. A proper hakim, physician. In the same way, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned to us, Allah Ta'ala has guided us through the hadith, that inside the body of a human being, every human being, there's a piece of flesh. Subhanallah, this is the meaning of the hadith. Do you all know this hadith? We all know this hadith, mashallah. That in everybody has an organ within him, a piece of flesh. If that piece of flesh is correct, if that piece of meat is correct, then the whole body is correct. What is that body? What is that organ? Your spiritual body. We're talking about imani now. Imani, not about eating and drinking physically. We're talking about internal self. In other words, we're talking about the basis of iman here. That if this piece of flesh is correct, then our iman is correct, and then total the effects and the practice of iman will come out. And when our total iman effects will come out, balance will come, then any order of Allah and His Rasul, we will not break it. We will not break it. We will not dare to break it. Because in our life will have the basis of iman. We will have the foundation of iman. And our ruh will be desperate. No, how can I leave salah? How can I leave prayer? And you will start to, I cannot leave salah. I cannot leave salah. From the time of salah, 15 minutes before, you'll have the fikr for salah. And those people whose muqam of iman has got to this level, ask them that, how do they feel at the time of salah? And their sleep cannot be deep at the time of fajr. I swear by Allah, they jump up from their mattress. Those people in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has praised, their bodies are not attached to the mattress. Allah Ta'ala says, that they, at the time of salah, they're asking, they're wanting, they desire to get up, and they have a fresh iman. Subhanallah. So we realize now the illness is what? That insan's heart, the human being's heart, when it's spoilt, when it goes towards bad tendencies, then the taste of iman, the desire of iman reduces to zero. And all of ruhaniyat and light of iman disappears. He doesn't have worry for salah. He doesn't have worries to do good deeds. He doesn't worry about lying and fraud and cheating others. Because all of the effects of iman have come out, and he stays and remains as an empty box. Just surround him and take him towards the darkness. So we need to cure ourselves. And what's the work we need to do first? Is that we need to do the islah of our hearts. Subhanallah. When our heart becomes correct, alhamdulillah, as the heart becomes correct, subhanallah, then the color of the deen will rub off onto ourselves, me, you, all of us. So the first sign of iman that will emanate is that the effect and the form and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sunnah will come into your life. You will start to love the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today, when someone speaks about sunnah to you, me, us, we may start to sweat. How can I do this? I can't practice in this country. But when you come onto the platform of iman, then your iman will become strong and powerful. The first result of that situation will be that your eye will testify to the fact that you are practicing physically the sunnah of Rasulullah. You'll see the value of the sunnah, the how valuable is the sunnah. And you will never then reject the sunnah. And no way will you try to pray salah without imamah, without the beard, or you won't want to live a life in which you are not observing the sunnah practice, standing, sitting, eating, every action, there's a guidance from the sunnah, and you get a big reward, and you will fulfill that demand and that requirement. These are all illnesses. These are illnesses. And that person will eliminate those illnesses. Oh my brothers, this action, we need this very quickly, that we need to do islah, rectify the flesh of our heart, the organ of our heart. So second question comes, how do we rectify our heart? What tablet, what pill, potion should we give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Has given a very clear guidance in the Quran. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Subhanallah. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّهُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ Allah ta'ala says that the whole Quran is filled with this cure. With regards to the dhikr of Allah, Allah ta'ala has in many places in the Quran mentioned the great effect of his remembrance of dhikr. I've just recited one verse. And how clearly Allah Ta'ala said, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّهُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ the successful people, the whole meaning from this world to the hereafter. That Allah says, goodness in this world to the hereafter. All of the goodness of this world to the hereafter. Awlad, children, home, family, wife, business, health, everything. All of the goodness of the world is present in what? وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّهُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ So, all of the destinations and the layers and the levels of the akhirah, let's mention it, that all of our dini Islamic muamalat, remember this, our prayer, fasting, hajj, zakat, Quran, tafsir, commentary, tabligh, all of the careers and the occupations in Islam, all of these are subhanallah based, hinged, dependent on the dhikr of Allah for success and great effect. Tuflihun. Successful. There's no action in Islam which is away and devoid and empty from dhikr. If you leave the dhikr of Allah and try to carry out all of the branches of the deen implementation, you can succeed in the world. We have apples, mangoes, and wheat, and vegetables and fruits, and lots of things that grow, plants, vegetables, trees, etc. Isn't it? And is there anything from all of these examples that doesn't require water to grow? You want to grow wheat? Oh, let's leave water. Then show me how can you allow that vegetable to grow wheat. Has science achieved that feat, accomplishment? You can make organization, science, research, but you need water first and foremost. Don't mean it? If we want to grow another type of vegetable, cauliflowers, rice, you need water. You want to grow an apple orchard, trees, apple trees, you need water. If we want to pray salah, then we need the water first, subhanallah. If I don't have water in my life, I will pray salah, but that salah will not be the salah that Allah Ta'ala wants to accept because it will not have ikhlas within it. And if we don't have the apple tree that has been nurtured by water, it will be an artificial apple tree and the insects will eat and make it devoid of the benefits and the nutrients. So dhikr of Allah is a precursor and a precondition before every action. So salah is made improved through dhikr. Dhikr doesn't tell you to stop praying salah, it makes your salah better. Dhikr doesn't tell you to stop doing tabligh, it makes your tabligh better. Dhikr doesn't tell you to stop doing tafsir, it makes your tafsir better. Look at this. In no action or work of the deen will salah diminish or demote your action. Rather, it will elevate your practice and take it to the platform of acceptance. It will make your actions like a rose bed. Who has said that if you do dhikr, your tafsir will stop? Who said that if you do dhikr, ilm will stop, your learning will stop? No. Dhikr of Allah elevates, increases, improves. We say they don't put water here, give the water afterwards to the soil and the plant will grow after before that. No, it doesn't happen. You have to nurture and water the plants before, the seeds before, to get the plants and the vegetables and the apples and the trees to grow. So this is the basis of iman. This is the basic fundamental. Kullu shayin sakalatan qalb. bidhikrillah. Allah says there's one cleaning agent that will clean the heart. Allah Ta'ala has revealed that to us. And what is that action? The dhikr of Allah that will clean the heart. So now read the verse. Wadhkurullaha kathiran. Allah says, La'allahum tuflihun. Oh, I do dhikr, I've got tasbih. Morning I do tasbih 10, I do tasbih in the evening. Allah Ta'ala is not mentioning tasbih here, the beads. Read the verse again. This is not the dhikr Allah Ta'ala is defining in this verse of the Quran. If you, me, if we, for example, put lots of different dishes and say, eat, then if you take half a toast and a little bit of some other dish, and I've eaten food, you say, you haven't even eaten anything yet. Yes, I've eaten. I had half a toast. But you haven't eaten nothing. You've got so many dishes there. So dhikr that we do is the same like this example, these tasbihs we do. Allah says, this is not dhikr. This is just a little bit of a, you're having a taster, a beginner, starter. I've done a few beads of this, a few beads of that. This is not dhikr. 12 tasbihs, 10 tasbihs, 13 tasbihs. Allah's given us the basis of success. Wadhkurullaha kathiran. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkurullaha kathiran. Wherever Allah Ta'ala mentions dhikr, Allah Ta'ala has attached the word, what? Kathira. Abundance, high quantity, Allah's mentioned in the Quran. Why? Pay attention. Salah, how many times a day? 5. How many other ibadahs are we told to do? Fasting, 30 in a month. Hajj, once in a lifetime. Zakah, 2%. Dhikr, kathir. Kathir, 2.5%. Zakat, but dhikr is kathir. Kathir and kathira, high quantity. And here Allah Ta'ala is saying, I want you to do my dhikr in high quantity, and nobody in the Ummah does dhikr. In our families, how many people do dhikr? Individually, how many people do dhikr in our families? This dhikr that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, wadhkurullaha kathiran. In this gathering, somebody with honesty of iman, tell me, who does kathira dhikr? Who? So what is the hal of the ummah? Whose heart will be correct then? Whose heart will be reformed? Allah has given us a tablet, a cure. If our heart is not correct, if my heart is not correct, then how will sakina come into my home? How will salah come into my home? How will satisfaction come into my home? How will peace? Today the ummah is desperately in need for this. We need to think about the disease that is surrounding us. Otherwise we shouldn't cry. MashaAllah, we are high status people. Allah has created the ummah as high status people. But we need to do fikr. So tell me, is this difficult doing dhikr? Is this difficult? Shaitan has stopped us from doing dhikr. Tell me, how we are passing away our graves, people are going into the graves. Imagine. And the vegetation, vegetables and plants, are they growing without water? We have raya and pride, etc. Because we're not following the right schedule. Morning and evening we're doing ibadah. We're not doing ibadah with the right principles. So what dhikr has Allah Ta'ala told us to do? Dhikran kathira, kathir. High quantity, not tasbih dhikr. Not tasbih dhikr. Now let's ask the pious predecessors from the hadith, what is kathir dhikr? This is right, isn't it? So what is dhikran kathira? That this tasbih that we do, and we do dhikr with tasbih, it is even easier than this. Subhanallah. Say Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's glory and greatness that we needed air. When Allah has given us so much, we don't even know how much we need, and there's so much that's coming. Allah Ta'ala has given us water, Allah Ta'ala has given us fish, and Allah Ta'ala said dhikran kathira. Allah Ta'ala has prepared so easily dhikran kathira for us that there's nothing easier than this. There's no easier method than this. So today I've come to teach you kathiran dhikr. Alhamdulillah, this is what I've come to teach you. And somebody taught me, and I thought that I will go home to home and I will teach the people dhikran kathira. Alhamdulillah, so that we can come out of our illnesses and ma'rifah of Allah draws nearer to us. Allah's nur comes, our heart is full of nur, light, Quran, we understand, we enjoy tabliq, we enjoy ta'aleem and chilla, and our women observe parda, sit at home, and our children observe salah, and our lives improve and change for the better. In 50 years, the revolution I've seen through the dhikr of Allah, the improvement, the maturity, I cannot explain to you in words. Non-Muslim individuals who came into Islam and had iman due to dhikr, I cannot explain in words how dhikr of Allah has affected them positively, because the Quran is barhaq and Rasulullah's words are haq. And whatever Rasulullah said, those same effects will take place due to the dhikr of Allah. Suddenly a person changes for the better, improves. Look at these young children wearing amama, donning amama. Did anybody do tabliq on them, explain to them? No, because dhikr didn't even reach to their homes and the improvement began. The positive change began with the blessings and grace of Allah. But we don't grab hold of that solution. And shaitan has made us afraid that don't do dhikr, it's dangerous, oh, it will make you pious, etc. Why are we afraid of this? So wadhkurullaha kathira. Allah Ta'ala says that do dhikr and do dhikr kathira. In abundance, high quantity. So what's kathira? Kathira is where there is no limit, where there's no upper limit. It's countless. Yes, infinite, unlimitless, no, with limitless, with no limit, not stopping, free flowing. It will never stop. Subhanallah. It will never stop. And this is what we call dhikran kathira. And there are other people, Allah Ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ الْقِيَامَ وَقُعُودًا. People get tired of doing dhikr. Allah says, do dhikr standing, sitting, lying down. How will we do this? We never think about it. How can we achieve this? How Allah Ta'ala has opened the doors for His dhikr. Subhanallah. To us. So my brothers, the meaning of dhikr and kathir, Allah Ta'ala has put a machine in our hearts. A machine. Nothing functions like that machine in the heart. Our hearts tick, 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 tick. There's an announcement. Something is saying something. There's a beautiful effect of that announcement. Something I remember here now. Remember this point. That there was a psychologist, a sort of doctor of the mind, of the brain. There's a paper, a cutting I could show to you. Maybe I've got it in my bag. And he was Dutch, I think. I've got the cutting, the newspaper cutting. And this is something, some years old piece of news. And this individual said, when he read the verse of the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَذْقُرُونَ الَّذِينَ تَتْمَيْنَ قُلُوبِهِمْ بِذِكِرِ اللَّهِ, he said, Quran is haq. And he was a non-Muslim at the time. He said, let me test this action of dhikr. What effect does it give? Because he knew dhikr can only be done to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is dhikr. Everything else you can say, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. This is all one action, isn't it? And what is that? Allah. We're doing dhikr of Allah. All of these kalamats are doing dhikr of Allah. If somebody says Allah, then everything is included in that. Yes? So if you just say Allah, so he did an experience. He had an experience. He conducted an experiment, you could say. He said, definitely there must be an effect in this name. So let me test this on my students. Because those people who are students or his patients, somebody who was mentally affected. So obviously the doctors, they follow their solutions, give injections and mental antidepressants, etc. But Allah says, الَّذِينَ تَتْمَئِنَّ قُلُوبِنَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that the sole cure of the heart is the dhikr of Allah. So he said, let me experience this. So he called his non-Muslim patients and maybe gave them medicine as well. And he taught them how to say Allah. What did he teach them? Allah. Allah. And he said, I just wanted to see that what is the effect of this name. But to you, I can give you a guarantee, this consultant says today, that not just will you get one cure, but from this name of Allah, if you recite it, you'll get many other cures. He said that in every recitation of the name of Allah, will get a cure. That the alif in Allah, subhanallah. And where his breath would stop and he, for example, would look at the patients of the heart patients. He said that when a person says Allah, what's the effect of the nur of Allah? That his breath suddenly, for example, it continues along the trend of the recitation of the name of Allah. So it's alif when he said Allah. And then the lam, there's a lot of tension within the lungs. And then that tension is released. And then the ha in the spelling of Allah, is that the requirement of the heart in taking the oxygen from the lungs, etc. He says this is what transfers the goodness across the organs. So he says that a person, and then mashallah he became a Muslim, I have no ilm if he was, but if he gets to the bottom of the effect of the name of Allah, and the name of Allah is so beautiful, and the qawm, the ummah of the believers today have this name, and we are lost, we don't even have the tawfiq to sit down 5 minutes only. 5 minutes we should sit down and do kathir dhikr, high quantity. How many minutes? 5 minutes. I will introduce you to this dhikr. 5 minute batches. Kathiran doesn't mean all day long do dhikr. Totally not. Totally not. Remember this. This is kathira, the word that you are doing dhikr from your heart. Even if you're doing it for 5 minutes, you're doing dhikran kathira, subhanallah. And this is called meditation or maraqabah, dhikr of the heart. And other people, mashallah, they're running toward this action. You know that. You can look at books, look on the internet, how many people meditate, they do different actions, yoga, etc. But this is our action, this is our ibadah. We've lost it. Look, I'll explain to you what is the definition of dhikr and kathira. Then after that, we'll do a bit of dhikr. And what time is Salah Maghrib? Then will be what time? Okay, fine. All right, so my brothers, my colleagues, now we come towards kathiran, dhikran kathira. It's very simple. I teach this to all of you. Now being a sheikh, I give you the ijaza, the permission that you can do this dhikr personally, but you cannot go further because this is a very powerful dhikr. So the method of this dhikr, this is ismi that, saying the name of Allah, his personal name. This is the greatest dhikr of Allah. Greatest way. This is a shortcut. Allah Ta'ala has made a miracle for us today. Allah Ta'ala said this, that my name, recite my name. Recite my name, Allah Ta'ala says. Isn't it? These are the words. These are the words. So, what is the name of Allah? Allah's name is Allah. So, how should we do this dhikr in our hearts? It's a very simple method. They're on our left side, two fingers below our left side, left below is the heart, the organ of the heart. And it calls out, Allah, Allah, Allah. If you practice this morning and evening and your heart starts to beat, Allah, Allah. I've seen such people, they hear from their ears the sound of Allah, Allah, Allah through the dhikr. And the heart speaks. And this is the fitrat of the human being. What is this? This is the basis requirement of iman. I'm telling you this now. So the tariqah of this is what? That we and the rest what we do, mashallah. But the tariqah of dhikr is this. That we need to concentrate on our hearts. And we need to focus. And with the focus and the concentration with the wajh, not moving the tongue, and we just sit silently, we don't speak anything. With every beat of the heart, we focus and imagine the heart is saying, Allah, 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 from the tongue of the mind, of the heart. And a better way to do this is that if you do it with the tasbih, does anybody have a tasbih? So you will need to get some beads, with sort of big beads, bigger diameter, fatter beads. And the tariqah of doing this dhikr is that you will pick up one bead, and you will tap it down, hit, pick, hit, pick, hit, pick, like this. This is the first stage, was your learning. So hit, pick, after 15 minutes, 20 minutes, then your hands will be a bit more free, and you'll do the dhikr a bit more flowingly. And you'll sit down, and you'll focus on your heart. After that, you'll take the tasbih, and you won't say anything, you won't speak, and you will just focus the tasbih on your heart, you'll take it towards your heart, and you will then tap the beads, hit, pick, hit, pick, hit, pick, and you can appoint a certain number, keep, do 10 tasbihs in the beginning. When your hands become a bit free-flowing, do 20, a bit more free-flowing, then do 50. 50 tasbihs in the morning, and 50 in the evening, with this tariqah, with this method. You see this? And the you can say the vibration or the voice, the announcement of the beads is going straight into your heart. This exporting the name of Allah into your heart. Don't think that, for example, if I do it, I'll get thawab. If I don't, this is just a method. It's a cure. It's a means to concentrate on the heart. Your focus goes more on the heart. Just like sometimes when we do the dhikr, we dim the light so the tawajjuh goes, or we put the cloth over our head. So this supports the action of the dhikr. It's not the action itself. So this tapping of the beads is supporting the action of dhikr, that the reward will increase or will diminish or decrease. Nor is it sunnah. These are the tariqas of our pious predecessors, so that you can focus more and have an effect on your heart, so that your tawajjuh, your focus and attention is more on the heart. Because today in this day and age, when tawajjuh increases, then you have good effect. In the previous generations, our predecessors, their iman was strong, on high status. But we will have to make a bit of effort. When we utilize the tasbih in this way, and you are focused and imagining that Allah Ta'ala's name is being mentioned in my heart, then after 20 or 15 motion of the hadith, then you can put it to the side, the tasbih, and you can go into maraqbah. Silent dhikr of the heart, focus on the heart, and your heart will start saying, Allah, 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 Allah. Inshallah, you will see that your heart has become alive and it started to beat to the name of Allah. And the more you can do this in high abundance, then your heart will beat to the name of Allah in a high quantity. This you will see the benefit, and the Quran has told us the benefits of the dhikr of Allah. And then you could do this. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah's promise, تُفْلِهُونَ, you'll be amongst the successful. So these are great promises of the Quran about the dhakireen, their condition, the rewards, which doors they will go into paradise, the maqam in Jannah, on the day of Hashr, resurrection hell, they will be seated. You read this in the hadith, isn't it? So this will happen. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. So let's take time out morning and evening to do dhikr of Allah regularly, and always focus on your heart. Make this a habit. You're working, your hands are in your work, and your focus is in the dhikr of Allah. Like the heart is saying dhikr of Allah. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah alayh, he said that I was on Umrah or Hajj, it was the season. He said, I saw another person that until evening he was doing business and counting and amassing wealth. But not one second was his heart devoid of the dhikr of Allah, reciting the name of Allah. Allah Ta'ala hasn't stopped us from doing what? But remember Allah, Allah Ta'ala says, remember me. So that dhikr, that hajj in which the dhikr of Allah is being done, that those ibadat in which the dhikr of Allah is being performed, then a person becomes nur ala nur with that ibadah. Subhanallah. So what is the tawajjuh we have to do? That every moment our heart should be doing dhikr of Allah. It shouldn't be devoid of the name of Allah. With every beat, the name of Allah should be mentioned. It's not difficult. It's the most easiest ibadah. When you go to sleep, alhamdulillah, recite the du'as, and then concentrate on the heart, and make your heart say, Allah, 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 and go to sleep. Subhanallah. The hadith will come to the fore, that Allah's Nabi has told to his sahabi, Hazrat Mu'adh ibn Jabal, his final nasiha, that, oh Mu'adh, this is my final nasiha, that when you depart this world, then your heart should be remembering Allah, Subhanallah. This is the desire of Rasulullah SAW. When we pass away, that is maut. When a person passes away, we should be so used to this and habitual that when we are leaving this world, our heart should be beating to the name of Allah. When we wake up in the resurrection, our heart should wake us up that Allah, Allah, Allah will say, and we will wake up after death. Will we do this, my brothers? Inshallah, don't leave this action. Great ni'mas, great rewards, blessings. Do you understand the tariqah, the method? So we need to do this. Now for a little while, we'll do the dhikr of Allah. We'll recite a few kalimats, a few verses, then we'll do maraqabah, silent dhikr with the tasbih, and then we'll do dua. I am grateful to you again. You've given me this time and opportunity. With sabr, listen to me, Allah Ta'ala, elevate your rank and status. Ameen.